beloved and holy and only child of our Heavenly Father, child of the one source, child of light, divine. That is who you are. Take it deeply within the consciousness and contemplate what that means. Child of light, from the one source, divine. I am the one known as Jeshua ben Joseph. Jesus, you have called me, and some other names as well. And it is in great joy that I come to abide with you this afternoon in your timing, as you have chosen once again to call me forth. Great joy, always, for that is truly the inheritance from the Father, Mother, God. God is all that is, that you have inherited. Great joy to be happy, yes, to be able to stretch and to say, the body feels so good. It is here to serve you. You make it, you remake it. Every morning I see my beloved friend and teacher remaking. But always you revitalize the body when you are still in that very deep place of peace. You say to it, perhaps not in words, but you say, let us, as you speak to all of the cells, let us get up and see what this day we can make. And you do. And when you put the head down on the pillow in the evening, you do a bit of a review, perhaps for half of 1 second. And then you are off to sleep. I wanted to speak with you about a subject that hasn't been touched on yet. The subject of ascension. Because much has been made, yes. There's always a perfect timing.
It helped to complain last night.
We will not be so mean as to give you the nickname. The complainer. More likely the reminder. But yes, it is a topic near and dear to my heart. Being able to ascend and then to come back, as I have told you many times, I come and I walk in your shopping malls with a body that seems to be quite of this time and making. I do have fun with various fashions as they change from year to year, and I put upon myself the appropriate disguise to look like one of you. And I walk in the mall, and I speak to ones who are very much in the head thinking what to buy or what not to buy or how am I going to make the golden coins stretch as far as I want them to. And so ones sometimes are sitting on the bench and they look a bit not exactly buoyed up. And I sit next to them and begin a conversation if they are willing. And a lot of what they have been carrying can then come to the surface and we can parse it and throw most of it away to return once again to the innocent. With ascension, it begins with the innocent. It begins with knowing that you do not know. It begins with allowance, and it begins with the mind. Now you would say, but it's the body that I'm interested in. I'm interested in ascending the body. And truly that will happen, but you will start, as is your habit, with the mind. And allowing, that is why I have been encouraging in this week that you do the meditation in the morning and that you go out of doors or indoors and allow yourself, the mind, to become quiet and to become in a meditative state. Because ascension, although it can happen at any time, in the beginning starts with the mind and pretending. But Yeshua, I want to know it for real. I don't want just to pretend. You will begin with how would it feel to pretend how ascension might feel with the body. And just to do the quieting of the mind and of the body, allowing that very peaceful state. You're saying, but ascension certainly has to be a speeding up of all of the vibrations of the body. And yes, that does happen. But it starts first with quieting the ever-chattering mind, coming to that still point. And then, using another talent that you have brought into this reality, using the talent of imagination. How would it feel to be so light, so buoyed up, that the body would no longer be important to keep me on this plane? How would it feel for the vibrations of the body to be light, to go as the light, to use the tool of imagination? You have built into this reality many, many tools that help you be very present with this reality and to be able to ascend the viewpoint to look at the body sitting on the chair and know that truly you are the consciousness that can be from the viewpoint up above watching yourself as the body sitting, being very peaceful, and allowing the body to radiate the energy that it is. So you begin, first of all, with that which is known to you, that which is habitual, the mind. Now you have built in the mind for a very good reason, to use it, to use the imagination as the tool that allows you to ascend, if it be your will. Now, if you try and nothing happens, do not start beating self up and say, oh, I knew it wouldn't work. I knew that I couldn't do it. I've been told all this lifetime that I'm a bit slow about everything and that I probably won't reach heaven. Well, in truth, heaven has nothing to do with ascension. Although you may think that if I ascend, I will go to heaven. If you ascend, you may get for yourself the most wondrous new viewpoint. Doesn't mean that you have to go to what is termed heaven, although you may. And that may be a destination point if you want to have, but it is not necessary. In other words, you do not have to grade yourself on the quality of ascension. There are ones I have heard through the ages who have been able to ascend the body, and then they have done the age-old judging of, well, that wasn't really a good ascension. And it's like, don't bring human judgment into that which is of heaven. So you start first of all with how would it feel to be in such peace, to be in a place of quietness where the body no longer needs your attention. Focus your attention upon the breath, breathing slowly in and out, allowing all of the muscles of the body to relax. Not thinking of anything except the breath, allowing the breath, allowing the out breath. Allowing the in-breath, allowing the out-breath. focusing only on the peace of the breath. Okay, that was lesson one. Then you will progress from that place where there is no thought even of the breath. No thought of anything. But Yeshua, I want to focus on ascension. I want to know that I'm actually doing it. And I will share with you that as you do it, you will not be focusing on it. You will be just ascending, allowing the cells of the body to vibrate in a certain way that they know how to do, the cells. You don't even have to instruct them. Oh, that's a relief. I didn't know if there was going to be a whole book on how to tell the cells what to do. You allow yourself to be in that state of peace and in a state of joy, a state that just feels light. No thought. And with the no thought, there will be a certain vibration of, you will call it at first, imagination. And you will find yourself a bit detached from the body. Now there will be, in the beginning, the silver cord that you have heard about that is still attached to the body. So don't worry that all of a sudden you're going to ascend and the body is going to disappear and you won't be able ever to find it again. That does not and cannot happen. You are always, as I have said many, many times to you, the maker of your reality. And if your reality expands to the place of ascension, allowing the cells of the body to ascend, you are still in control. So you are not going to be off on a cloud somewhere trying to figure out how do I get back. In truth, in the beginning, there's going to be a sensation of peace, a sensation of detachment, and when you realize, oh, I'm a bit detached, then immediately you're going to be slammed right back into the body with the knowing that, yes, I am in the body again. I am with the body. So you do not judge. You allow. You feel that you are not doing anything because in truth, you don't have to do anything. You allow. We are speaking, beloved brother, of ascension and how it feels to ascend the body and how you do not do it, but you allow it. And as I have shared, it starts with that quiet place of meditation. And it starts with the mind. The mind is a tool. It is not a bad thing. Sometimes the sages down through the ages have said, you have to get rid of the mind. It is only when the mind seems to be in control and all of the thoughts are going crazy around and around, sometimes around one subject, to the place where you get a bit dizzy and you have to stop it. Stop, I want to get off. You allow yourself to return to peace once again. So I have been explaining that as you get into the state of peace and there is a sense of leaving the body in a way, although you do take it with you, there is at first the shock, I guess I'm going to call it, of the fact that I am somewhat divorced from the body. I'm somewhat separate from the body. And with that thought, that is where you walked in, with that thought, it's like, oh, okay, I feel the body now. But as you practice allowing, not as you practice doing, But as you practice allowing, being in peace, and allowing the perception of the vastness of all, not making it happen, but just being in that state of peace that feels easy. You don't have to do anything. If you start to do, immediately you are right back where you started. But just allowing how it feels to be expansive. And you will feel even the cells of the body responding. Now every time we speak, I speak of the light that you are. The body, the cells of the body are light. This can be measured by your scientists now. The cells of the body expand as light expands. The sunlight that you have coming in right now is very much in a movement. Every particle of sunlight energy is in movement, in flow. And this is what you are going to feel like. And when there is, again, the perception of it, again, immediately, you're going to be back with the body. But that is okay. That happens over and over and over and over to the place where it is a no thing. You do not even know that you are doing it. And what happens is a sense of otherworldliness, which is very true, and a sense of radiating even the energy of being as light. But it is not something that you force. It is not something that you put into words. As I try to describe it, I am using words. But as you are doing it, there will be no words. There will only be a sensation of peace. And you will wonder later, as you come back, because you will come back, you have yet an agreement that you signed at birth, or even before birth, that you would be here, you would activate a body, you would speak with ones, you would uplift them, you would smile. You have an agreement that you signed, and I know many of you have said, but Yeshua, I don't remember signing anything. Did I really agree? Yes. You did agree. Well, did I know what I was signing? Yes, you knew. But did I really understand how difficult it was going to be? No, that's something that you made as you went along. Because in truth, you are still the child that you were in your mother's womb. You are still the essence of Christ, always and forever. But meantime, you have put on what you would see to be the Halloween costume. And you have said, this is how I will appear. I will take upon myself the usual disguise of human, depending on what century, what time period you think you are coming into. And I will behave as human. And yet, there will be a little voice within me that says, and there is more. Your commercials are designed to speak to the holiness of you, and there is more. So as you practice not doing it, but allowing it, just feeling like if your boss had given you the day off and you didn't have to do any computer work, you didn't even have to feed the dog, you didn't have to do anything. Just in that state of peace. That is why I exhorted you to spend the mornings of this week on your own, to be out of doors in the nature. Wasn't that a beautiful rain shower you had this morning? It came, it passed, the sun came back out. Yes. You designed it that way. Just to be in that state of peace, if you are in the doors, inside, and you are meditating and feeling quite peaceful, that is good as well. There is no one place where you have to be. In other words, you do not have to go to a holy shrine in Jerusalem, and there then you will have the key to ascension. No, it happens anywhere. Anywhere you are in peace, anywhere you let go of the very specific focus of the body. But how, Yeshua, how does the vibration of my body ascend so that ones can see me ascending? Because one saw you ascending. They're speaking to me. Okay. That is the advanced course. It is the next step. Yes. And it is not something that you concentrate upon, because as soon as you start to concentrate, what does concentrate do? It comes together and gets more dense, like your concentrate of orange juice, for example. Okay. So you do not focus upon expanding. You just abide in peace and enjoy, knowing that outside of time, but yet within time, it is going to happen if you desire it. Now, you don't have to desire it. You don't have to prove it. You don't have to ascend in order to be holy. You are already holy. It is how the essence of you is. Full stop, period. The essence of you is whole. Being of the Father, Mother God, Goddess, all that is, you are already everything you will ever be. Already. It is not that you have to try to take the advanced courses and learn everything in order to be good enough. You, as the light that you are good enough. Always and forever. But you have agreed that you want to play in the sandbox for a while. And so you have made a sandbox, and you have put the sand into it, and you have said, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to play with others, and I'm going to throw the sand around, and they're going to be whatever, you know, the whole drama. And you see much of that in your world, much of drama. But allow yourself in the coming weeks, until we meet again in this way, to practice just ascending in spirit, in the feeling nature of you, just because it feels good. Not because it is holier than you are right now sitting on the chairs. Ascension is not what you see to be the A double plus on your report card. You have already, in truth, ascended in what you would see to be another lifetime, another existence, another reality. That is why when I speak of it, there is a faint knowing, or maybe not so faint, knowing of the peace and exhilaration of ascension. But it is not something, as you would call, to be your final exam. It is not something that you have to pass in order to get into heaven. You are already in heaven as you laugh at a joke. That is already a little piece of heaven right here, right now. So it is not something that you have to decease the body for. In fact, it is much better if you don't decease the body, because then somebody has to come along and take care of it. So please do your neighbors a favor. Clean up your mess and keep it vitalized. More fun that way anyway. Okay. End of lesson one. Practice, my girl. Practice, my boy. Just because it feels good. Not because you have to. Not because you're going to be graded on it. Not because the next time we meet in this way, some time interval from now, that you're going to be tested on it and you're going to have to sit in the chair of holiness and watch everyone watches you ascend. It is for yourself, that place of peace. And I will say unto you that the first few times that you do it, you are not even going to know that the body has ascended, because you are going to be so caught up in the peace and the vibration of peace that you won't care. Because the moment you start to care, right back to where you started. Well, not exactly, because you've had an experience. Anyway, now we are open to the questions. Aha, that was fast. You were waiting for that.
I was waiting for that. Don't turn it off, leave it on all the time.
Okay. I read a book about
experience.
Right.
And it was very
interesting. And
I have experienced ascending above and looking down.
Right.
What I'm wondering is it possible when you...
Can you eventually go to another dimension? Because there are... If there are guides around us, can we go to that dimension and see that?
Yes, you can. But I would advise not to do it right away.
Right.
Yes. Have a safety net, we will call it that. Because you have made contract to be here. And there are some realities that at first seem so attractive that you might want to stay there, but you have a contract to fulfill. And you may do it quite quickly, fulfilling.
Right.
So that you can go anywhere. You can make any reality at any time. Oftentimes, as the small ones, you have gone in your imagination and made other realities and played in those realities. And were they real? Yes, they were real. At that time, you would have said, I am the pirate and I have the parrot on my shoulder. And, or whatever. Or I am the baseball one that can really hit it out of the park, etc. Those imaginary friends that you have with you. Any of you in this room have grown up with an imaginary friend when you were small? Oh, yes.
Baby Rulos.
Okay. And they had names, I know.
Baby.
Yes.
Baby Rulos. I had baby Rulos.
Okay.
They sound furry.
Oh, yes. Friendly. Yes, and
real. Right.
So in this book that I read, the fellow didn't believe in it, and then it happened, so then he experimented in over a 10-year period. He said three times he went to the next level. And he talked about what you're saying. He would snap back sometimes and he had to kind of learn how to be able to continue without accidentally snapping back.
Right.
But he said on the 10th level, he said he could do more and go faster and go to places better. He said he noticed on the 3rd level, when he looked down, he couldn't see his body. So he knew he was in charge. So he said, I can see with clarity what I look like. And he immediately went to somewhere that he knew that had a mirror. And he said when he looked at the mirror, there was a shape of him. And inside were points of stars. So it's like the universe inside.
Yes, yes.
And that gave me goosebumps. Just hearing that, reading that.
Right. And why?
As within, so without, or is that how they say it?
Yes.
So below.
This is true.
So then, so God's not all just up there, it's also, right?
Yes. Yes.
All the universe.
Exactly. Yes.
Hello, 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 hello
Yes.
Okay.
I actually have a question. I know what, I'm right here, Judy.
Oh, okay, yes. I can hear the speaker. Yes.
I know the present at this time, but I would like to go past just for a moment if we could, because okay. In this time I had left over stress from the crucifixion, and
yes.
I would like to know, you know, what was my role at that time. Or,
right. Many of you, in truth, were at the crucifixion. That is why when it is depicted in words or on your screen, perhaps as a drama, there is a feeling that wells up within you. Or if you are in meditation and you think of it, the tears may come down the cheeks, because many of you were there and you had the world view, the world reality, that this was the ending of our friendship at that time. There was a feeling of being deserted, that I was leaving you. How could I do that when I had talked with you and described and loved you and you felt so motivated and so loved? How could I allow this to happen when there had been healings in the groups as we walked along? Why could I not heal myself and come down off the cross? Why did I not have enough power to slay the ones who were putting the nails in my hands? Wouldn't that hurt to have nails, big heavy spikes in your hands? Well, it would if you focused upon them, but I did not. As I have shared with you previously, I had training in India that allowed me to take the consciousness and put it above the body so that I did not feel the pain. And this is something that some of your brothers and sisters as well in this day and time know how to do, how to remove the consciousness above and allow whatever would be painful to the body to happen and not feel the pain. So I knew how to do that, but that was not obvious to ones standing below the cross and wondering, how could this happen? How could I let myself be arrested and gone through trial and to be whipped and scourged and wear the crown of thorns? How could I let myself, as you saw it, be debased when I was speaking from my Christhood to you, to your Christhood? When I spoke with you upon the hillside and you grasped it, you felt, yes, I am more than the body. Yes, I can see a little bit of heaven. And you became exalted in your own humanhood. You understood and you rose above the usual. How could this teacher, this holy one, as you said I had to be, allow this to happen? Was there no way to break out of the human cycle? And this is what was the heaviness of the time. But it was not the plan to leave it at that point. In other words, to leave the plan as a failure. That is why I came back. That is why I walked amongst you afterwards. Some of you, because it was so traumatic, you withdrew and you went back home, wherever that would be, and you did not have the newspapers and your television to report that, he's been seen. Someone has talked with him. Someone has walked with him. So you didn't have your news reporters telling you. And so it felt that a door had been closed. A door that had opened and had allowed you to feel alive. And you felt that had been taken from you.
The abandonment.
The abandonment, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so you have come through lifetimes of reenacting abandonment, where you were born as the baby and the mother just left you. And you either survived because someone else picked you up and nurtured you, or the body was just deceased, etc. You've gone, all of you, through most horrendous stories, and that's what they are. They are stories. They are not the real self of you. But you make wondrous fiction, and then you live from that point, and you say, but it's true. I really suffered. Well, yeah, you did suffer, but that's not the real you.
But that was your contract. That was your agreement as you came in.
It was your reality that you decided, okay, I will play this script. Not exactly a contract, unless you believe also you've built into it a way to break the contract. In other words, it's not binding forever and ever and ever, as some of your holy teachings have said. The Godhood does not make junk. You've heard that in other words, I think. But that which you truly are is spirit, and it is alive and well. And if you carry into this lifetime any of the heaviness from previous, you can now, this day, let it go. Are you willing to let it go?
Yes.
I can tell by the smile on your face. It is gone, erased, paid in full. Good. And that is true for all of you. You have all carried something from some lifetime that has said you are not quite perfect. If you were perfect, this whatever calamity would not have happened. Your whole family would not have been wiped out, and you stood there and you watched the whole family be slaughtered. If you were perfect, you would not have allowed that. If you were perfect, you would have somehow rescued. You would have somehow known more and known how to change things if you were perfect. And you are perfect, and that which you made as drama was perfect as well. That is why you can sit and you can watch your programs on your square box. Well, that box is amazing. I watch. It is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It used to be a square box about this size. Okay, this is when I checked in, you know, at one point. And now the next time I checked in, the box was bigger. Now it fills a whole side of the room. Most amazing. But I digress. I think I answered your question.
I'm sorry, what?
I think I answered your question.
Very much. Thank you.
It is in the past, over and done with, finished. And now we are back together. Very good. You feel that, yes. Yes, this is true. Many of you have carried that with you since the crucifixion.
Hey, so the same way that you ascend by, like, just allowing, do you use the same kind of process to heal the body? And how did you stay alive for, like, 600 years after?
Just for the sheer joy of it. Yes, there was always, well, I'll do that later. I want to see the next village. I want to see the next mountain. I'll do that later as far as deceasing the body.
Okay. Yeah. So you just kind of stay happy and then you
exactly.
stay alive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sweet, sweet. And then also, can you, like, become younger in the body with that same process? Like, let's say you're 100 and your body's, like, you know, fragile.
Yes.
Cool.
It is called youthing.
Okay.
Getting younger, yes. Instead of aging and getting older, you are youthing.
Nice.
Y-O-U-T-H-I-N-G, youthing.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then what about, like, creating stuff, like, in the physical? So, like, let's say I want to create, like, some gold coins. Do I just picture it and then they appear?
It starts with visualization, yes. But it also starts with knowing that you can do it. Not with, I hope I can do it. I'm going to visualize a coin, and it's going to be a gold coin, and it's going to look like, you know, et cetera. I can describe it. That's how it looks. And it's going to be, I lost my image. Yes.
Okay.
And a knowing. The important part of that is knowing that I can do it. I have done it, and you have in other lifetimes. And you found that having all of the golden coins was not the answer to what you really, truly wanted. What you really, truly wanted was to know thyself, to know who you are, to come truly alive as the spirit of love, free, unfettered, unlimited, to know joy. And then perhaps you will ascend because you no longer feel that you need to stay here and do whatever the contract seemed to be.
Okay, so kind of like disassociating from the need and then just being in that content place, and then if it appears, then
right.
It kind of comes from
right.
That. Okay. And that's how healing is as well.
Yes.
I'm guessing.
Yes.
Okay.
The important part of the healing is to accept it, because truly you are already whole. Each and every one of you sitting here, you have had from time to time something that has bothered you in the body. And you have gone to your experts and you've done all kinds of remedies, and perhaps it persists, or perhaps it goes away and comes back again. You are already whole. You are already the spirit that activates the body in its perfection. But the world has taught you from the very moment that you came out of the womb that the world is a harsh place. It's cold. The bright light is too light, too bright. You've been whacked so that you would expel what was in the way of breathing. And so you have felt from the very moment, this is a harsh place. I'm not sure I want to be here. And then, hopefully, love has taken over and taken you to the source of nourishment, to the breast of the mother. Hopefully. Doesn't always happen. Sometimes, for various reasons, it has to be more what you would term artificial. But still, there is a knowing of love that goes with it. Hopefully. Not always. But yes, if you want to manifest anything, it starts with a knowing of, yes, this can be done. And then there is allowance that says, I know this can be done, and I allow it to happen. And the visualization and the non-judgment. I have seen you as you were manifesting something and, oh, well, it doesn't look exactly like what I thought I was going to manifest. And with that thought, yeah, you have to start over.
Sure.
Right.
Interesting. Cool. Thanks. Thank you.
Play with it.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds good.
That's
you.
The best.
I have a question.
Yes.
My sister is having health issues, and she just can't get on top of it, and it's persisted most of her life. And both Daryl and I are trying very hard to make her life as pleasant as possible or to give her our love. Can you give me any insight as to what we can do? She's not open to any spirituality, and we can only show her love, but it just seems like it's just a waste of time. I know it's not, but is there any insight you can give me with her health issues, anything that would bring us some peace that we're doing some good in her life? Please.
Join with her in the acknowledgement, as she sees it, the acknowledgement of how much she suffers, how bad it is, how truly disastrous it is. In other words, don't stand on one side and say, I want to make it better for you, and truly it can be better for you. And if you consult the right doctor or if you have the right diet, things can be different. join in with her wholeheartedly and say, yes, that is really too bad. I'm really sorry that you suffer. I can see that you suffer so much. In other words, it sounds very strange to say this, but as you will join with her, not at first, but later, as you join with her and say, yes, this is really terrible. I think this is terrible. You look terrible.
And she does.
Okay. She is an actress. All of you are. You're all actors. Okay. She is a most wonderful actress. And she is really suffering. She feels suffering. Allow her to have her role as the actress. Join with her and say, yes, it is really too bad. I don't know why you suffer so much. You just look terrible. You're just having so much problem with life. It's really, really bad. Use the, what is it, the reverse psychology it's called. Okay. And see if she comes to the place where she says, enough already.
Okay.
What do you have to lose?
Nothing at this point.
Right. It may or it may not change things because there is a habit, a very strong habit.
I think it serves her very well because people come to her for that. And we have played our role in that as well. But
right.
Frankly, I'm tired.
Okay.
You know, and
I
don't want to abandon her in any way, but it's exhausting.
Yes.
To always be the light when there's no dark, when it's so dark.
Yes.
And I'm tired of trying
right.
to work. It's been decades and decades and decades. Yes.
So when she says to you how much she suffers, you just say,
bummer.
Yes.
Yeah.
You just say yes.
That sucks is what I say. Yeah.
Yeah. Just agree with her.
But not to engage in conversation and let her go on and on. Or do I let her go on and on and I just listen and go, well, that sucks. Well, sorry. See you in the hospital or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
You don't have to suffer because somebody else is suffering. This is a choice on your part as to how you want to handle it. And as I have said, you can agree with them quickly and say, yes, I see.
And then turn around and skip away?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. Watch a skip.
You have my permission. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, and thank you.
Okay.
She is playing to, as you have seen, an audience. And if the audience agrees with her and says, oh, yeah, I see how much you suffer, well, see you later. Then
I'm going to squim.
There you go. Very good.
This might seem like a kind of a worldly question rather than an ascension kind of question, but you mentioned in the ascension process that we let go and just have this wonderful spaciousness where there's basically thought, no thought, which is so peaceful.
Right.
How do you juxtapose or how did you juxtapose, did your body actually die and you, at what point did you ascend? Like, did you, but you took your body with you, didn't you, and then come back?
Right, yes, with the ascension. Yes, I came back after that.
So,
until the journeying that I wanted to do until it was finished.
But the stone that was rolled back and that kind of thing, was that when you ascended inside and you moved the stone? Or did the ladies move the stone?
No, I did not ascend at that point.
Oh,
but
okay.
What I did is something that you know how to do, but you've forgotten, is to activate the energy of the body as the vibration of light. We will call it light because you can see it. And I directed it through the hand to the stone, and the stone moved. It had to move. There was intention. There was then the manifestation of the energy, which you are, that went forward. Where do you think the idea of the lightsaber came from?
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yes.
Mm.
This was something that we knew how to do in that day and time and before that, how to activate the energy centers of the body into one stream of light, power of light. And so I directed, and the stone had to move, and did move.
Okay.
So it rolled away.
Right.
Okay. I know it is a bit hard to think in this day and time, gosh, if could I really stretch out my hand and have enough power? But it does take practice.
Yes, yeah. Okay, so then after that was when you reappeared, and there were, and after that was the ascension. But then when you wanted to do your travels, you must have come back into your body.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I was quite mobile.
Wow.
So did you reanimate the old body or just create a new one?
In truth, it was a new one, which is why I appeared a wee bit different to ones. The vibration was a bit different.
More like in your dreams?
Not bad. Right. Not bad. Hmm. So there was a familiarity when I met the two on the road. And I was still myself, but at what you would call a bit refurbished. Yeah. Yes.
Very unusual question.
Can the mind?
Oh, I can talk about it.
No, you can't.
Okay. Okay. I don't relate to any of this Christ stuff at all. Or okay. Any of the stuff. And is it because I haven't spent that many lives on this Mother Earth that I've spent most of my lives elsewhere? Because everyone seems to have a connection and a story that has to do directly with you, Jesus, and Christ. And I do not.
Right.
Is it possible that it's just so alien to me that I'm just haven't been on this planet as much as y'all?
Y'all?
I mean, I just, you know, they say, well, do you feel like you're called to go home? Do you feel like this? And it's like, no, 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 I don't. No, no, no.
You feel like part of our family.
I feel like the love. I feel that. But I don't feel like this connection that I was with you on the crucifixion,
right,
or I was with
because
this.
Because you weren't.
I was or was not.
Was not.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I'm just wondering, I feel so, I don't feel alien per se, but I'm beginning to think that I just haven't spent that much time here to have as many reincarnations as this group.
Right.
And maybe that's why I was Jewish. I don't know. I mean, because...
Yes. There is a very ancient part of you that walked Holy Mother Earth. A little bit of you that got out of the spaceship and looked to see what there was. And you said, this is okay. But, you know, it's not as pretty as some of the other planets that we've gone to, the heavenly bodies that we've walked on. And this does not feel like home to me, you said. And it isn't. You, as we would speak of spaceships and galaxies, a galaxy far, far away, yes, you can relate to that. You were a very strong-willed space commander. There was much up here that you knew and much in here that you knew without the studying. You knew how to maneuver the spaceship through eons of light, eons of time, but through the light beams. You knew much more about the various galaxies. You were not concentrated upon one Yeshua who had a lifetime and loved everyone. You and I were the space commanders in some of the spaceships that we designed that were not hard. They were mind energy. Let's put it that way. Mind energy you relate to. You can feel that. You can feel taking off. You can feel going somewhere. And the more ancient the teachings are, the more familiarity you have, more at-homeness you have. This other stuff that ones are referring to, the crucifixion, my life, whatever, that's more modern stuff. And you did not participate in it.
Well, thank you, because I've always wondered why I can't get into it like everybody else. And everybody else seems to be right there. And I'm just kind of like, oof, I'm not there. I like to be around because I love the love and I love what Daryl loves. But it's like, I'm just not feeling it. I mean,
right.
In a good way, not feeling it, not like
right,
it.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, good. Thank you very much.
Well, you're not the only one who feels that.
Okay.
I don't know that I was crucified.
Well, I appreciate the information, and it makes it more clear.
Good. Thank very you. Good. There are what you would call periods of time, lifetimes, I will refer to them, but there were more periods of time that we spent traveling, going places outside of time.
Well, that sounds very fun. Good to know.
She resonated with the story of me leaving a brother at a gas station. I have a feeling that's what happened.
Okay.
I'd have to get a refill of coffee if they thought she was back on.
But that does make sense.
Yes. And in order to be here in this day and time and to be in a resonance with the ones around here, you do not have to have as the beginning end of all my life. I am here as one Yeshua, but I'm also here as the spaceship commander.
Me too.
Yes. And you too. Exactly. And it is not just a part that we played, and gosh, that would be great if I played in a history of something and that was the part that I could play. In truth, all of you have done the spaceships and have traveled. Holy Mother Earth, hear this well, because you are not going to have someone coming up to you and saying this. It is in this day and time, uncommon, unaccepted information, truly. Holy Mother Earth is not your home. You have come here, you have visited, you have said, not bad. But there have been other places, other constellations, where you have felt more beauty, more of the exquisiteness of sensation. This truly, if you were to imagine other constellations and other vibrations of places where you felt yourself to be one, are in other dimensions, not this one. This one is good. This one is rather harsh, but this one also has beauty. And so you have come here, meantime, just to kind of look around, see what there is, see who there is, and feel a kinship, but not because of Holy Mother Earth. When you speak to most of the people that you meet out and about, they feel that Holy Mother Earth is the only, the one and only home. But it is not. It is one of the rest stops along the way.
Space shop stop, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Joshua, something came to mind when Susan talking about suffering. I recall seeing a video of a major church in Florida that had many people being healed, coming in with wheelchairs and walking and leaving their wheelchairs behind.
Right.
And they had a room at the back full of wheelchairs.
Right.
So some of the reporters decided to follow up and check on these people who had left their wheelchairs behind. And they found that a lot of them, after 3 or 4 months, were back in wheelchairs again.
Right.
And what I gather was happening is that they were no longer getting the attention when they were not in the wheelchairs anymore. And what comes to me is it seems that it would be very useful and helpful if they were somehow offered a new vision of themselves so that they would no longer want to be in a wheelchair, but they would want to fulfill that vision.
Right.
But it doesn't look like they're being offered or even encouraged to do that. And it looks like there should be some way of communicating some new vision to them so they will not be interested in going back to wheelchairs.
Right, exactly. A new vision of themselves, yes.
Yes.
Put into a service of some sort, serving other ones where they are no longer
useful.
With the image that I am somehow debilitated.
I have something to offer now that I didn't before.
Yes, exactly. And they do, and the sorrow of it is that, as you have said, they do not stay with the healed state of image, that they go to the former one. You have one in your midst who is wavering between being healed, being a vibrant, bouncy self, and being needing care. Supposedly needing care. You have one in your midst. And you are offering to this one the vision that he can be restored to the vitality that he was some 6-9 months ago. But he does like the attention. When he was being vital, he demanded attention, and he got it because he was quite out there. Yes, exactly. And somehow there needs to be a slight shift that he knows that he does not have to be with the walker or with the wheeled chair in order to get the attention, that he can be vital and still get the attention. I'm not exactly sure how you do this, but as a group, you have the opportunity to work with this one, yes.
You take him to Walmart, electric cart, and you get him all the way to the back, and you make sure that when you put him in the cart, it's on yellow, not green. But you walk with him all the way to the back of the store and say, I'll be right back. Offer to go to get him a cane, but you know, if you put it in the cart, it'll stay in the back too. And let him get angry enough to storm out.
Will you volunteer?
They had many healings at Walmart. They were making all the way up to the guy at the door and saying, I'm an invalid. You see, I can't walk.
Okay. Do you volunteer to help this one?
Walmart's got the largest abandoned cane collection in the country.
Good.
Yes.
Very good. So in other words, it is a...
thing to get him to see if they can fly, just put everything on the top shelf.
You speak truth. Will you follow it with action?
Oh, I already have. What was I doing earlier?
Did it work?
Well, yeah. You put Jell-O in the refrigerator. I told you Jell-O was on the list. The guy likes Jell-O. You moved the walker to the bedroom.
Very good. You speak truth. It is humorous, but you speak truth.
You know, people don't need to know that you're trying to help them. You just do stupid stuff. It works.
Very good.
You can also get people to move if you move the bong to the bedroom instead of the living room.
Very good. Very good.
And then you move to that place of observer and fill up your lungs with all that great oxygen that comes through when you laugh.
Very good.
Perception.
Yeah. Jeshua, I just want to have a follow-up to my original question, because you said that if you go to another dimension, you might not want to come back. Mm-hmm. And you've now said that we're from another dimension, or at least many, or if not all of us.
Yes.
Once you do more out-of-body experience, would it then be safe, do you think, to go to another dimension because you would have more experience and then you could come back and you don't have to worry about
not coming back? Yeah. You're free. Right. It is a free choice, a free ticket.
Right.
Yes. There is nothing in your contract that says, first of all, you don't have a contract. But there's nothing in it that says you have to come back to Holy Mother Earth, only if you want to. And oftentimes you do want to, only because the ones of your heart are still here. And so you come back to be with them. There are many of you who are opening to the wider knowing of yourself. And the reason that you are here is because of ones you love and you want to be heart-centered with them. Otherwise, you'd be off in a spaceship somewhere feeling free. Yes. What was that?
I said, that is post-o.
Yes. Very good.
I've also been, similar to Susan, have no recollection or inkling that I was at the crucifixion, for example, and I'm
right.
wondering about my personal relationship. And I do definitely relate in some way to the spaceship and the whole idea, because I always joke about, I don't know how I got on this planet.
Right.
Feeling like I don't belong, feeling like I was put on a stage without the script.
Right.
And don't know what to do. You know,
right.
I've felt that way since I was a child. So.
Right. And many of you have. You have felt a bit misplaced and had to make your way in a hostile place, as it felt, because there is a knowing inside of you of an easier, softer, more loving place. This world that you are saying that you will be the light and try to help ones by loving them is a harsh place. It does crazy things like crucifixions, whatever, but you rise above it. But yes, for many of you, when we start to speak of other galaxies, why do you think your science fiction has been such a hit, such a pull to you? It's because you desire, part of you longs for that experience again. This is a strange place to be. You struggle to feel at home here. That's why there is such a desire to go home, because this doesn't really feel like home. So yes, you haven't all been at the crucifixion. Good heavens, you know, your religious organizations talk about my life and about the healings that I did and about, especially about the crucifixion. That's such a big thing. And you should always try to atone for what was done to me. No. I agreed to go through that experience. I've left it behind me. Please leave it behind you.
On a completely joyful note, David and Donna and Aaron and I went with Ted down to the Gilliland Ranch.
Yes.
We're really looking forward to seeing the lights come up out of the mountain, but wasn't really sure that would happen. And I came out of our trailer and stepped down onto the ground thinking, I wonder where Joshua is on this. This is only 4 years ago, something like that. And a little light came out of the mountain. And before I could even have another thought, it was like the whole sky lit up because this little light went, whoosh, and it was a big, bright light in the sky. And, of course, my next question is, do you recall? No. I wondered if you were in that spaceship or your energy.
Yes.
With that thought that I had.
Yes.
Because it was like, oh, there he is. Yay.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
And did it make a smiley face?
And he was also in an orb in the conference room one night.
Yes.
You were? Really?
Why not?
Wow. Yeah.
When you least expect it.
I have a question, just a real quick question about a former incarnation of yours. Were you King David?
Yes.
Okay.
I have played many roles for the sheer fun of it.
But they talk about the scarlet thread in the Old Testament, and so I was just, I kept thinking, you know, King David, that's who you
yes.
were. Yeah.
Yes, beloved one.
Would you tell us of home?
The most wondrous question. It is what everyone seeks, that feeling of home, that feeling of peace, that feeling of okayness, and it is okay to cry. It is okay to allow the waterworks to come, because this does not feel like home. Sometimes when you meet someone and you hug, that is home. Sometimes when you meet someone and there is the smile of recognition that goes beyond just the personality, that is home. Home you seek. Home, when we were in the spaceships, we sought to find home. Everywhere we have adventured, we sought to find home. Home abides within. You carry it with you everywhere you go. Home is that feeling of longing, that feeling of love, that feeling that rises up and says, I want more. I want to know my God self, my Christ self, my allness. I want to know. And you say, I want to know, who am I? Who am I really? I have a name. I have a personality. I have a place that I've come from. But who am I really? Where is my home? Home is within, and you take it everywhere, everywhere you go. And once in a while, the door to home opens, and the tears come, because you have found home. It is within. It is that space that opens, that feels like all outdoors, that space that feels okay, that space that says, I know where all the controls on the spaceship are, and I know how to use them, and how to push the buttons. Exactly. You take it with you. You cannot be away from home, because home is you, the true self of you, the trueness of you is home. And that is why when you connect with another person and you look eye to eye and there is that recognition that allows the breath, the deep breath of okayness, that is home. Always and forever, you are home. Wherever you want to depict it, however you want to say it looks, it feels, you describe it a certain way. But words cannot describe it. But you know it when you find it, when you feel it, and you are home. That is why you enjoy the hugs so much. Because you put home to home. And you feel enlarged. You feel accepted. You feel at home. That is why, even as you are going through a human life, you can feel homesick. There's always a little piece that I can't quite get a hold of, that I want to know. Home is you. Home is the love that you give, and in giving, you receive. You know home. You recognize it. You reach out and you touch because you want to be reassured that you are accepted, and you are. You are loved. Because you are love. There is no place that you can go that you are outside of love. It is who and what you are, and you take it with you everywhere. You take home with you everywhere. And you go up to someone and you say, perhaps not in words, but you say, do you know home? Tell me about home. The little ones, they will say to you, where is home? And you say, well, you're at home. This is our home. And they say, no, I mean home. Where is home? And you take it with you everywhere you go. Every time you smile, it is home. Feel that? You felt a breath.
Oh, yes.
It makes you take a breath. And when you take a breath, a physical breath, you expand. Home is expansive. Home may be a spaceship. Home may be a green field. Home may be a puppy dog.
In the spaceship.
In the spaceship. Of course, why not?
Always bring cats in my spaceship.
Okay, yes. My beloved friend and teacher does that. Yes, yes. Yes, whatever four-footed one has found you. We think that we find them. They find us. Yes. And sometimes more than one. Yes. Well, on that happy note, and it is truly a happy note, allow the differences that you feel to be okay. You do not have to be cut out copies of each and every one. Ones down through the ages have wanted to be another Yeshua because that was so godlike. Hell, I was human. Yes, I was a man. I walked as a man, I thought as a man, I loved as a man. I enjoyed being a man. But I also enjoyed knowing my true self. And I enjoyed the memories and the life again that I'm having right now as Sananda. You see, you have a little, what you call, clue that life is more than just this. Praise be to the Christ that life is more than just this. If you take nothing more from this week, and you will take much more, remember that anywhere you are is home because you are there. So if it is a spaceship, revel in it. Yes, claim it, name it, visualize it. Give it a name, and when you speak to other ones, say what the name is. And they will say, that sounds familiar. That means something. Because you will find ones who have forgotten or pushed it to the back of the memory who have also been with you everywhere. There is, in truth, no place that you have not been. And there is no place that you have not made home somehow, somewhere, sometime. And this will continue because you are great gods, creative, as I say many times, the extension of the one creative principle. I do not say the one creative father, although I said this in your holy writings in order to give a suggestion to ones who could only think so far. If I were to say that to them, oh, well, you're off of the spaceship Rosemary, whatever. Pick a name, any name. That would have been the end of that conversation, for sure. Yes. Celebrate. Let the tears celebrate. Yes, sir.
What comes to mind that triggered me was we're on this planet. It's a very challenging place for us to be.
Yes.
And I gather when we're on spaceships or we've been other places, we may be getting bored with no new experiences.
This is true.
And we come here to get some new experiences we didn't get when we were other places.
Right.
And so what it's, I get a sense is that we want to enhance the home we've got by having new experiences here, and that's one way to empower or improve our home by having new experiences and bring it inside, which we didn't get outside.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. It's true.
But it just seems to me that that's what we're here for, is to enhance our home by having new experiences we weren't having prior to this being here.
Exactly. And that is very true.
We're here on a field trip.
Yeah. This is true. We're just trying it out.
We're playing on the earth as a field trip.
Okay.
You just referred to the Father as principal.
Right.
And so my question is, the principle, which I call God, is itself. Mm-hmm. It knows itself. It's aware of itself. Oops, I'm sorry. God, or the principle is personal. These are my ascension questions. When I'm up in school there, this is what we talk about. So, you have said before that God is love. And of course, love is personal. And so I'm trying to narrow it down. So you no longer refer to God as father, mother.
I do sometimes.
You do sometimes.
Depends who I'm talking to.
And you just, I've heard God described as principle, also principle with a capital P.
Right.
And that has to be who and what I am. It's
right.
What you are. So, God is totally everywhere. Okay.
Thank got you. It?
Yes, thank you.
I think he's got it.
James.
I've had a sense recently that this realm that I call 3D, this dimension I call 3D,
right,
is more malleable than it appears.
Right. Thank you for seeing that.
I do.
Yes, it is. Very much so. And that is part of the reality that ones are coming into, where you are ready. And some of the other ones who are not here present are ready to understand the extent of Father, Mother, God, Goddess, all that is, as principle, as the whole. Now, in your holy writings that your churches are so enamored with, I use the word Father to example love, protectiveness, taking care of the family, so forth, all of the qualities of that day and time. But he is not a he. He is not contained within just the masculine. And so when I use the word principle, it is to cover everything. Father, mother, God, goddess, all that is, even the wind. It covers everything. So you are the extension of that principle, of that, I cannot even describe it as being, but as, not as entity, not as energy, but as principle, which is beyond knowing with a human mind. It's one of the dials on this spaceship. Right. Right, beloved ones, we will continue this later this evening, more speaking of questions. Because in the meantime, all of you are going to be musing and coming up with more questions, because as you have seen, one question will lead to another question, to another one. It has been my pleasure to be with you in this way. So be it.
Thank you.
Oh, we?
We.
Right. Oh. It was very good. I know.